Now, lies and conspiracy theories are spreading as bad actors try to undermine elections. It's happening here in Wisconsin, especially online. Max Witinski recently graduated from UW-Madison with a master's degree in journalism. He reported about disinformation for Wisconsin Watch, and he talked with WPR host Keely Boltina.
So misinformation and disinformation, those are different. Misinformation refers to mistakes that happen or inaccurate information, but disinformation is intentional?
That's right. So misinformation can be the result of disinformation. If there's a bad actor online who's spreading a message that they know to be false, but then someone else sees it and thinks, oh my gosh, I need to alert other people to this problem. But they don't realize that it's fake, then it becomes misinformation.
Gotcha. So disinformation has this intent that it's fabricated or deliberately manipulated.
That's right.
So how do we know people in our state are targets of disinformation campaigns?
We know for a couple of reasons. One is because of research done at the University of Wisconsin-Madison by Professor Youngmi Kim, and who's a fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice, who has studied disinformation on social media pretty widely. We also know because of research that was cited in the Mueller report on election interference by Josephine Lucido, who's a recent graduate from the UW-J School. And then we also know just from looking online and seeing disinformation, it's pretty widespread, and Wisconsin has been specifically targeted by some of the foreign actors like Russia because it's a swing state. So disinformation, unfortunately, is pretty common on news feeds on Facebook and Instagram across the state.
And we know there are many different ways to spread disinformation. Memes are one of them. What's a meme again? How do people make them?
So a meme is just an image with text pasted across it. Usually they're intended to be funny, but they can also have malicious intent. And oftentimes it's kind of a subtle combination, which is what we usually see with disinformation. So maybe a meme making fun of Joe Biden, that's the example that we used in our article. But at the same time, it kind of implies that he has dementia.
Tell us more about that. What did it look like?
So the meme is just a picture of Biden. It's actually captured from his campaign announcement video. And the text is, "I'm Joe Biden and I forgot this message," which kind of makes you laugh because it calls to mind, you know, what people say at the end of a campaign announcement video, which is, "I'm Joe Biden and I approve this message." But if you look in the top right corner, you can see it has a little watermark from this group, Americans for Liberty 76, which is kind of a shady group on Facebook. They don't provide a lot of context for their messaging. And one of their major goals, it seems like, is to kind of stir up emotions, kind of get partisans riled up, essentially. And sowing division in and of itself is one of the big goals.
And we should note, Joe Biden never said that. That's not a circumstance. There's no evidence that he has dementia. But this thing that was supposed to be funny kind of still leaves you with this mistruth lingering in the back of your head.
Right, exactly. So maybe even if you like Joe Biden, you might have second thoughts like, oh, well, maybe he's not actually as fit for the presidency as I think he is. Maybe someone else would have a better candidate. Your enthusiasm for him is a little bit lower. And maybe if millions of people see a message like that, or thousands of messages like that are out there in the media stream, you might actually get lower turnout.
Yeah, even when none of it is true. How can we track how far those untrue messages spread?
So it's actually a pretty tricky thing to track. But there are Senate Intelligence Committee reports on this topic that suggests it's in the millions or hundreds of millions. Content from the Internet Research Agency, which is a St. Petersburg-based organization that has some ties to the Kremlin. Basically, it's a troll factory where people are putting out false information around the clock. The Senate Intelligence Committee report says that between 2015 and 2017, there were actually 187 million engagements on Instagram in the form of likes, comments, and shares. So it's really pervasive.
Wow. We're talking with Matt Witinsky, who's written about disinformation for Wisconsin Watch. People looking to undermine our trust in government are targeting people in Wisconsin, especially when it comes to politics. This is the Ideas Network. Max, whose responsibility is this? What have you found?
So I think the responsibility falls to a number of people. One would be obviously the social media companies, who need to do a better job kind of policing their own platforms. Some of the onus, though, to take action is also on us as social media users and as citizens, just to call out this information when we see it, tell our friends to be really cautious and, you know, take everything that they see on social media with a grain of salt and refer to trusted media that's fact-checked.
And we've seen some inappropriate, untrue attacks on the media. And yet in this case, media outlets are also responsible for context. You use an example of a tweet from President Donald Trump.
That's right. President Trump, throughout his presidency, I would say, but especially recently, has been seeking to undermine confidence in the fall 2020 election, especially as it pertains to mail-in voting. And this is largely disinformation. The Postal Service is pretty well equipped to handle mail-in ballots. It's something that they've been doing for years. Some states actually vote entirely by mail, like Colorado and Utah. And people really should have confidence that their ballots will be counted. What they do need to do is carefully follow the steps that are put out by the elections commissions in their states. So they need to request the ballots early. They need to get the witness signature, and they need to return them such that clerks will have enough time to process them. But fraud is actually really rare.
So when the president makes a statement like that, news organizations simply can't retweet. We have to provide context to help people understand that this is what he said and it's not true.
Right. And that also creates more work for news outlets. So he's basically sowing what's sometimes called information disorder there. So some people think, oh, the election is potentially fraudulent. Then the news has to correct them. And it just becomes this cycle where people are less sure what the truth actually is.
You mentioned sock puppet accounts. What are those?
So a sock puppet, in the context that we discuss it in the article, is usually a Russian actor impersonating an American. So some of these accounts during the 2016 election cycle actually garnered thousands and thousands of followers. Basically, people expressing really patriotic views and usually support for things like the Second Amendment, President Trump sometimes. In reality, they weren't based in the U.S. at all. And they were just trying to tip the balance of the election. Or in many cases, just prevent people from voting via dissuasion. So another thing that we would see is same-side candidate attack, where you see someone maybe pretending to be a Bernie supporter, attacking Hillary or something like that. And that ultimately leads to lower voter turnout for Hillary, even though they were running in the same party.
So with so many different ways that people are trying to spread lies to us, how are we supposed to go about this? I think I remember one of the examples one of your experts said was just try to look past it online. That's hard to do.
Yeah, it is hard to do. I think fortunately, we still have a pretty robust election infrastructure, especially in Wisconsin. So if people are paying attention to media that's fact-checked, like Wisconsin Watch, like Wisconsin Public Radio, and I think talking with one another also, and not just becoming kind of siloed in their information bubbles, I think there's a good chance that we can have a free and fair election with good participation.
Max, thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much.
That was reporter Max Witinski talking with WPR host Keely Boltina. They talked about how false information aimed at damaging elections is making its way to people in Wisconsin. This Wisconsin Watch piece is part of the Narrow Margin Project, investigating voter security, voter suppression, and disinformation in Wisconsin this 2020 election season. You can read the full article by Max Witinski and Jessica Christopher online. We've got a link at our website, wpr.org/centraltime.